From the studios of Boise State Public Radio, I'm Gemma Gaudet. Last fall, Idaho Power Company finished adding 16 acres of floodplain to an island in the Snake River in order to help fish thrive in that environment. Rippey Island sits between the Swan Falls Dam and Marsing. Now, this is desert land, and the sun can warm the water in the river to a really unpleasant degree for fish. So by creating a narrower, deeper channel, the river actually stays cooler, and then it keeps the bottom of the river cleaner, which, of course, is better for the fish. Jim Chandler is joining us now to talk more about this project. He's the fisheries manager and quality leader with Idaho Power. Jim, welcome to the program.
Hi, Gemma. Thank you for having me.
Well, absolutely. So can you tell us a little bit more about Rippey Island? What does it look like now?
Yeah, well, since completion of the project in late 21, associated with the project was planting of a lot of native riparian vegetation along that expanded island shoreline. And now that vegetation has had a chance to really come on strong and grow. And so it's looking like a pretty lush riparian shoreline along that newly created channel.
I got an opportunity to watch the YouTube video of this that Idaho Power put out, and it is pretty neat to see what you were able to do. But for folks who haven't seen that, can you talk a little bit more about the Rippey Island Research Project? I mean, what did Idaho Power do to the island? I mean, you talk about adding more vegetation, but what else did you have to do?
Yeah, well, as you said, the Snake River is in a desert environment, and it's a very warm summer time condition. There's a lot of solar input, and so the biggest source of heat onto the Snake River and the Snake River water temperatures is the sun. And so the idea of Rippey Island was to expand the size of that island, or expand the size of the floodplain to reduce the amount of solar radiation that hits the surface of the water in that area. And then by expanding that, we also created narrower, deeper channels, which helps water velocity flowing through that area to increase and limit nuisance aquatic macrophyte growth. And then, as you said, it really diversifies the aquatic habitats available to fish and other aquatic resources.
Well, and it keeps the water cooler, right? Which then helps.
Yes, because of that reduced solar input in that area, the water temperature is cooler in that immediate vicinity. And then as these projects expand, you know, to have a larger area of influence relative to water temperature.
And this project is one of quite a few projects that Idaho Power has put together for what you call your Snake River Stewardship Program. Can you talk about how that program started?
Yes. The stewardship program really stemmed from a need in the Hell's Canyon Complex relicensing process. And the Hell's Canyon Complex includes Brownlee, Oxbow, and Hell's Canyon reservoirs that along the Idaho-Oregon border. And one of the process requirements is for Idaho Power to obtain what are called water quality certifications from both the states of Idaho and Oregon, the departments of environmental quality. And the stewardship program stemmed from our outflow at Hell's Canyon Dam not meeting a water temperature standard for salmon for about a two-week period in October. And so working with the two states over a long period of time, looking at some of the best options, it was decided to focus on the development of the stewardship program to really target cooling the inflow to the complex, to the Hell's Canyon complex, so that long-term, the outflow to the complex will also cool and meet that standard.
So do I have this right, though, that Idaho Power, you're looking for a new federal license so you can operate the Hell's Canyon complex? Do I have that right?
Yes, that's correct. The Hell's Canyon license actually expired in 2005, and we've been undergoing a relicensing process since that time period, working through the Federal Energy Regulatory Compliant, the FERC process to comply with the requirements associated with obtaining a new license.
So the idea, if I'm hearing you right, is that you drop the water temperature in the snake between Hell's Canyon Dam and Brownlee Reservoir. I would think that this would be incredibly important for spawning Snake River Falls Chinook.
Yes. The water temperature standard below the Hell's Canyon complex is important to be met for Falls Chinook. And that standard becomes effective in late October, and for a brief period, for about 2 weeks at the beginning of that period, that temperature is not met, but the temperature is cooling during that time period and is met later in that fall period. And so, but fortunately, Fall Chinook salmon are doing very well below Hell's Canyon right now, relative to the past 30 years. The numbers of Fall Chinook have substantially increased. And so the most limiting factor most immediate timeframe was not identified to be water temperature. And that's why the states and Idaho Power thought that a good approach would be to really go upstream of the complex and address some of the source of the problem in terms of the warmer water temperatures coming into the complex, mm-hmm. and address that need for the Fall Chinook spawning temperature, mm-hmm. over a period of time, and address the source of the problem of warmer temperatures upstream.
Let me reintroduce you for folks who are just joining us. We're talking with Jim Chandler. He's the fisheries manager and the quality leader with Idaho Power. We're talking about a program to help fish in the Snake River. So Jim, Ruby Island is not the first project that Idaho Power has done along the Snake River. Talk to us about Beha Island. Where is this island?
Yeah, Beha Island was the first of this type of project. It's just located a few miles upstream of Ruby Island. It's a little smaller. It influenced about 7.5 acres of floodplain. And it was the first one in that it was a research project in that it was somewhat of a proof of concept project in that we demonstrated one that the construction could occur in obtaining all the necessary permits associated with that type of construction. And then we learned a lot about the planting of the vegetation along the shorelines and different opportunities to explore whether you need to irrigate or not irrigate those types of vegetations to get them established. So it was the first of these types of projects to really learn a lot about, how to proceed and design projects moving into the future.
And what kind of results have you seen from the Beha project?
Well, so far, the Beha project, because it's been in place a little bit longer, it was completed in 2017, but just immediately following completion, of course, we had a very large water year. 2017 water year put a lot of water and actually flooded a large portion of Beha Island. And one of the benefits of that was we were able to determine that the integrity of the newly expanded shoreline stayed in place. It wasn't eroded. And that the aquatic vegetation that was planted associated with that survived a lot of the high flow. And then following that, the vegetation really took off. And now we have mature willow plantings along the new shoreline, and also a lot of new cottonwoods are coming up. So it's really, and then also the deeper channels are excluding some of the nuisance aquatic macrophytes. So the Beha Island really worked as planned, in that the expansion of the island itself held. And is producing the riparian vegetation that is desired and the aquatic habitats that are desired. And so we can use what we learned on Beha to apply to Ruby Island and then future mm-hmm. projects as well.
And why is Idaho Power spending so much time and resources to help restore the Snake River?
Yeah, well, generally, environmental stewardship is a core value at Idaho Power. We recognize our projects have environmental impacts. Our reservoirs and dams to provide hydroelectricity, have oftentimes environmental impacts associated with them. And so our goal is to provide meaningful mitigation to offset those impacts. And that, this the impact of water temperature downstream We looked at a lot of options and really, along with the agencies, felt that this approach could address the problem, along with several ancillary benefits like enhanced riparian vegetation and some of the aquatic habitats that are created.
And finally, what other projects are you planning to help the Snake River?
Yeah, well, the Snake River Stewardship Program has about a 30-year implementation period. And so the plan moving forward with the stewardship program is to continue to construct islands between the Swan Falls Dam and Marsing and Homedale and that reach. Over that 30 years, we anticipate another 20 to 25 of these type of island projects, expanding about 200 acres of island habitat. And then in addition to the main Snake River focus, the stewardship program also has a focus on some of the smaller tributaries that come into the Snake River and enhancing the riparian habitats along those tributaries. And the riparian habitats help shade the water and reduce that solar input. And we anticipate over the course of the next 30 years, upwards of around 100 miles of additional riparian habitat in some of those tributaries. So a lot of work ahead of us in obtaining the goals of the stewardship program. Mm.
Well, Jim, thank you so much for coming on the program. We appreciate your time.
Thank you. I appreciate the opportunity to talk about the program.
Absolutely. We've been speaking with Jim Chandler, the fisheries manager and quality leader with Idaho Power, discussing a program to help fish in the Snake River. You can see a video that I mentioned about the company's Rippey Island project. We're putting it on our website, BoiseStatePublicRadio.org.